God, remembering his mercy, has come to the help of his people Israel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A mother whose son is condemned to die for being a thief kneels on the ground pleading with the emperor, "Show my son mercy." Coldly he replies, "This boy is a habitual thief, and for what he has done he deserves justice, and that justice is death." The mother begs, "But I don't ask for justice, your highness. I seek mercy." "He deserves no mercy," replies the emperor. To which the mother says, "It would not be mercy if he deserved it." And so the story goes, the emperor was touched by the mother's grief and pleading, and out of compassion and mercy released the boy. That story draws on two particular themes that come from this morning's gospel reading, one of the mother, Mary, and the other of mercy, the mercy she sings of and proclaims in the Magnificat. Mary's song, the Magnificat, touches many themes, of course, the fundamental one being her glorification of God and all his works, both in her life and in the world. And Mary in particular magnifies for us, makes larger, if you like, God's mercy, saying, "God's mercy is on those who fear him throughout all generations." And God, in remembrance of his mercy, has come to the aid of his servant Israel. And this mercy is at the heart of God's relationship with Mary's own people, the people of Israel. Indeed, you can go to the Psalms and find this. Psalm 136, for example, narrates the story of Israel's relationship with God and has a repeating refrain, which must be great fun for choirs when they sing it, "For his mercy endureth forever, for his mercy endureth forever," and so on and so on. In remembrance of this mercy, Mary sings, God comes to the aid of his people Israel. And yet, as we know through the stories of the Old Testament, Israel strays time and again from God. Now you might say that justice would demand retribution and punishment for that straying from God's purposes. But constantly and insistently, God shows mercy and patiently calls Israel back to himself. But as human beings, a bit like St. Peter elsewhere in the Gospel on the theme of forgiveness, we ask, but how much mercy really can go round? Can God continue to be merciful, even in the face of what I get up to and you get up to in our lives? And if we push it even further, we might say, what does mercy look like when we're presented with terror and violence, or more day to day when we see bullying or ostracising? If we really push it hard, we say bluntly, is there any possibility of mercy for the likes of Stalin or Hitler, Pol Pot, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, Jihadi John, or any of the thugs named and unnamed throughout our history? Perhaps justice demands eternal death and damnation for them. Or we might ask, is that just retribution? Pope Francis, who is passionate about mercy, it seems to me, has said, mercy is not opposed to justice, but rather expresses God's way of reaching out to the sinner, offering him a new chance to look at himself, to convert and believe. This mercy, God's mercy, is available to all people in our generation as well as in the past. Otherwise, it's not mercy. And this is what, in five nights' time, we will proclaim and celebrate afresh. Mary giving birth to divine mercy in human form, so that now we can see the divine mercy of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The ultimate act of God's mercy is in the coming of the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. Christ emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being found in human likeness. Christ, born as one of us, that is God's mercy. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Christ dies for us and for our salvation. That is mercy. Jesus lived and taught mercy. In one encounter, he says, "Go away and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice." He became sacrifice for sin to show us mercy. This is how we can sing at each and every celebration of the Eucharist, "O Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us." And of course, Jesus illustrates mercy in the parables. The parable of the Good Samaritan from St. Luke's Gospel hinges on mercy. Those priests who passed by the bloodied, broken man were so fastidious about ritual cleanliness that they bypassed him and left him in the gutter so as not to defile themselves ready to offer the temple sacrifice. And because of that, they were devoid of mercy. But of course, that's not what we see in the Samaritan, which prompts Jesus to ask the lawyer at the end of the parable, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The answer, of course, I know is on the tip of your tongues. It's the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus says, "Go and do likewise." Another mercy parable, as we might call it, is the one known as the prodigal son. But if we focus too much on the action of the son, we detract from the merciful character of the father in that parable, which is without doubt telling us of the nature of God. We're better calling it the parable of the merciful father. In that parable, justice demanded that the father reject and punish his wayward, disrespectful, and morally bankrupt son. Yet mercy means, he says, "Let us celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." When mercy is shown to us, it is life-giving, it's life-affirming. And it's this life, God-given life, that Mary delights in the Magnificat. She sings about a mercy which liberates us and God's people throughout the ages, liberates us to awe and reverence, adoration, honour, worship, confidence, thankfulness, and love. When we see mercy like that, then we understand that when we sing Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy, it's not an abject plea on our part, but a joyful response to all that God does for us, just as Mary sings about in the Magnificat. When we pray, "Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer," it's not to persuade God to be merciful and to listen, but it's acknowledging that God is merciful, and so we can pray. So mercy has two faces. First, it is the gaze of God upon you and me, mediated in the face of Jesus Christ, the image of the Father. As St. Benedict says in his rule, finally, never lose hope in God's mercy. The other face of mercy is the one that we are charged with. The challenge of the Magnificat for you and for me is to gaze mercifully upon other people and indeed upon yourself, to be the face of mercy, to show acts of mercy to the people with whom we share our lives, even our enemies, even those people we find most difficult, the ones we really detest, may even be around our Christmas dinner table that we need to show most mercy. In response to the impending birth of her Son, the Saviour of the world, Mary sings of God's mercy in her life and in God's world. Inspired by her example and the merciful face of her Son, may we hear afresh some other words of his as we prepare for Christmas and live today, tomorrow morning, and every day under the mercy of God. Jesus says, after an encounter with a group of people, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown for you." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.